Welcome and thank you for joining us for this service at Plymouth Presbyterian Church in St. Helens, Oregon. This is the February 2nd, 2026 service at Plymouth, the fourth Sunday after Epiphany. The sermon will be delivered by Pastor Peter Blank.
Lord, we come into your sanctuary with eager hearts.
Call us to walk in your ways and speak your truth.
Lord, we come to abide with you in love.
Gather us into honest and faithful community.
Lord, prepare us to be people of hope and grace.
Kindle in us the courage to live as great and faithful disciples.
Let us worship our God together in this holy place. Alleluia. Amen.
Next is the hymn, To God Be the Glory.
First reading this morning is from the Psalm 15. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy hill? Those who walk blamelessly and do what is right and speak the truth from their heart, who do not slander with their tongue and do no evil to their friends, nor heap shame upon their neighbors, in whose eyes the wicked are despised, but who honor those who fear the Lord, who stand by their oath even to their hurt, who do not lend money at interest, and do not take a bribe against the innocent. Those who do these things shall never be moved. This is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We turn now to our gospel reading, found in Matthew 5, verses 1 through 12. Hear what the Spirit is also saying to the church. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the poor in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you on my account. Rejoice. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the word of the Lord. I'm glad I don't have much of an audience behind here. That was a very ungracious move I made. Yeah, but I'm going to ask a very key question here as we think about what life is like in God's upside-down kingdom. Now, notice I use the word kingdom, not kingdom, because it connotes an idea that we become kin. We become brothers and sisters. We our family in God's kingdom. So let me see if you can finish this sentence, and I'm going to ask Harold to help me with this first thing. Harold, what will make you happy?
Dad.
Yeah, Dad is out at sea, and his being home would make you happy. Let's think about that a moment, and tears will soon be flowing. If you were to finish that sentence, "I will be happy when," how would you end that sentence? I know for some of us, and I'm speaking out of turn, and suggesting perhaps is their thought, like the book title by Mitch Albom, "Just One More Minute." One more minute to ask one more question, or to say one more thing to parents, to deceased brothers and sisters, others, loved ones. There are countless ways to end this sentence. I'll be happy when. I'll be happy when I grow up and move away from home. Remember that sentiment years and years ago? That beats strong in my heart. I'll be happy when summer comes. I'll be happy when I fall in love. I'll be happy when I get the job, the promotion, the car, the retirement. We could fill that sentence in many ways. I'll be happy when. And some might even say quietly, and perhaps we'll bump into that later today as we, some of us move over and worship with the folks at Avamere. Some may say, "I'll be happy when it's all over." So when will you be happy? What will it take? And how long are you willing to wait? 1 year? 5 years? 50 years? Jesus speaks directly to that longing. His wisdom, however, sounds upside down. At first hearing, it could sound so impractical, we just want to dismiss it. Religious talk that never touches real life. Still, many people have tested Jesus' words and found those words to be true. They do require a shift of vision, a shift of our posture, and even a shift of our heart. Jesus begins with these words, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." Now notice that Jesus doesn't use a phrase here, happiness, because happiness is like the clouds in the sky that they come and go, and often happiness is here and then gone again so quickly. Or as we say in Oregon, if you do not like the weather, wait 5 minutes and it will change. I came without a raincoat today because I was convinced the sky was going to be blue and the sun would be shining. And then I left my house and realized there's a dark bank of clouds right in front of me, and it's going to continue to be a wet day perhaps. So I'm here with no coat for the rain when it falls. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are, not happy are, because happiness is so often tied to circumstances. Whether we feel like we're successful, comfortable, winning, any number of things. And Jesus, as he uses the phrase, blessed are, it means it runs deeper. It reaches beyond circumstances and into our souls. The words he uses as he turns everything upside down. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who are gentle and meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. That's not how the world usually works. The world says, blessed are the rich. Blessed are the strong. Blessed are the winners. We'll see how that goes next week with Super Bowl. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. The world says, blessed are the well-fed and the well-indulged. But Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit. There are 9 Beatitudes, and the first, I see it as foundational. Get this one right, and all the others make sense. But miss this one, and none of the others fully work as well. Blessed are the poor in spirit. The word poor, translated here from the Greek, patokos, not mild poverty, but utter dependence. True poverty strips away illusions. It teaches each of us how much even a small bit of mercy makes a difference. It trains the eyes to look for kindness and the heart to long for dignity. That's what it means to be poor in spirit before God. The poor in spirit come to God with empty hands. They bring no leverage, no credentials, no bargaining chips. They come hungry for grace. They come broken, hoping to be mended. They come grieving, hoping to be comforted. They come ill, hoping to be healed. They don't negotiate with God because they have no standing in order to negotiate. They come before God and kneel. And it is precisely this humility, this openness, this vulnerability that makes them ready to receive blessing. But kneeling is not our preferred posture. We prefer something different, probably control. We prefer to pay our own way. We prefer not to be indebted to anyone, even God. So we strive. We work harder. We try to master our lives. We chase security and success. and so many of us end up simply exhausted. Years ago, March 6, 1995, Newsweek magazine ran a cover with a single word, exhausted. And in it, they had article after article that described people across every walk of life, leaders, parents, workers, caregivers, all of them running on empty. In reading that article, I recognized myself there. Yep, from time to time, I know exactly that feeling of exhausted. Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." Gilbert Bowen tells the story of a young boy rushed to the hospital with devastating injuries. His father arrives, frantic, commanding, clearly a man accustomed to getting results. He demands from the medical staff the best care money could buy. And finally, the doctor stopped him in his demands and said, "There is nothing money can do. All you can do is wait and pray." For that father, that may have been the first moment ever in his life where he faced his own helplessness. The crisis that he was in the midst of stripped away all the illusion of control. In that moment, he may have become, as Jesus is saying, poor in spirit. Able at last to kneel, to ask, and to trust. Sometimes brokenness becomes the doorway to blessing. Henry Nouwen once met Mother Teresa and was struck by her utter simplicity and her focus on Jesus. When he shared his own struggles and asked for her advice, she said to him, "If you spend 1 hour a day in contemplative prayer and then never do anything you know is wrong, you will be all right." It sounds simple. It's not shallow. Nouwen later wrote that her words answered all his quietness and none of them at the same time, because the real work was learning how to stand where the answers could be heard. And that's the invitation for us in this first beatitude. God blesses us when we come with empty hands. When we stop pretending that we're in control, when we bow before grace. And then here's the promise. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is, not will be, is the kingdom of heaven. As you read the Beatitudes, and I don't have time to cover them all, you will notice how Jesus uses present tense language. All of these things apply now. And in our reading of it, the Beatitudes, we so often want to put it future tense. That if we're this and we finally arrive at this, then that will happen. That's not what Jesus says. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. When we become poor in spirit, when we step into it now, Jesus did not command us to become poor in spirit. He offers us a blessing as we are poor in spirit. Jesus promises that when our need is deepest, God is nearest. Grace is already at work, my friends. That's why Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." In God's upside-down kingdom, blessing shows up in ordinary days when we stop pretending that we have it all together, when we admit our need, when we trust God to meet us right here, right where we are.
Next are verses 3 and 4 of the hymn, O Love That Will Not Let Me Go. Next is the hymn, I'm Gonna Live So God Can Use Me.
Friends, we cannot stay here. There is work to be done in the world. Go, be the church, love boldly, speak bravely, build God's kingdom here and now. And may the love of God, grace of Jesus Christ, and communion of Holy Spirit uplift and uphold you now and forever. Amen.
Amen. Amen.